Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Jennifer, it is so fun to have you on the Organize 365 podcast. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here. I've been looking forward to this for a while.
Well, we are going to have a great conversation. And I was wondering, how did you originally find Organize 365?
So I had just had to quit working one of my veterinary job, and I was home at Christmas, and it was actually right after Christmas, and we were putting everything away, and I was depressed and really tired. I have autoimmune disease, and so I was just worn out, and I found your podcast, and I started listening to it, and then I found Sunday Basket, and then eventually joined the 100-day program, and I have just continued through the entire thing to go to All Access, become a certified paper organizer, start my own business, and the whole thing. So I drank all the Kool-Aid.
Right down the whole customer journey. Perfectly followed all the steps. Yes. How long ago was that?
It was Christmas of 2016.
Wow. Okay. So quite a while ago, because we just started the podcast in 2014, I think. So yeah. Before we had a Sunday Basket.
Yes. Yes. I had my own. It was funny. A friend of mine happened to give me a basket that year for Christmas. And I was like, oh, well, that'll work. So that's what I did. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so funny. There are milestones in the journey where you're like, have you been around since before there was a Sunday Basket? Have you been around since before, whatever, as we've been around longer and longer, it's kind of fun to know where you joined the journey and who remembers the experience of what Organize 365 was like way back then. I only had Pat. I had Pat and yeah. Amy was doing my graphics and that was it.
Yeah. No, it's amazing how fast it's grown and how much it's changed actually in so many ways, so.
Yes. Gotten so much better with all the fabulous people on our team that have so much more attention to detail than I ever did. I love it.
I'm sure that helped cut the stress a little bit.
It did. And when you are forward thinking and a visionary, I am often on to my next idea before I finished my last one. So the team makes that look way more smooth and organized than I ever did when it was just me back in the early days.
Yeah, no, it's funny. They call that being an ideator, and I'm an ideator and not a finisher is what I learned. So my goal for this year is to be a finisher.
Yeah, the only way I can get myself to finish things is if I'm not allowed to start something else until this thing is finished.
That's my new
So I have to make myself these challenges. All right, well, if you finish this, then you're allowed to start the next thing. I'm like, okay. And then I hurry up and finish whatever it is I'm supposed to be finishing.
That's great.
So Jennifer, who lives with you in your household?
So it's my husband. I have a 15-year-old daughter. My 19-year-old son has an apartment. He's at university now, but he's in town here at the university, but he's got an apartment. And then we have two dogs and two cats.
And where do you live? You're in Arizona?
Yes, Tucson.
Okay. Very nice. So you told me in 2016, you were in one of those changes of life. You found the podcast. You were looking to get organized. What was it that made you decide to get organized that winter?
The autoimmune disease was a big kicker for me because I was that kid who grew up and organized, the room. And it was funny. I really resonated with you when you talked about your little condo and everything. Yes. I set my bookshelves up that way, I loved organizing. I love organizing supplies, which is something I've had to learn to, chill out about a little bit, not be such a buyer, but so I'd always been organized. And when this autoimmune disease hit, I got it before I even had kids, but I recovered from it. And nobody ever told me that it would be progressive. I had no idea. Oh. So then I had my two children, and right after I had my daughter, I got slammed very, very hard. and I was working full time as well. And it was a very crazy time. And I held out for as long as I could. And then I had to go on medical leave for a while. And then when we moved to Arizona, I decided I wasn't going to work, but I couldn't stand not working. So I did go back to work and managed to work about a year and a half, 2 years. And Christmas of 2016 was when I stopped. That was, and I looked around and I realized that I thought I had been doing okay, but I wasn't doing okay. My house was a mess and that had never happened to me before. Mm-hmm. And I've always been really good with papers and stuff. And I was realizing that while I knew where they were, it wasn't easy for anybody else in my family anymore to find things. And so it was a matter of, I've got to find, I liked what you said about finding some time. And I had no sense of purpose anymore because all I'd ever wanted to be was a veterinarian, and not being able to be that absolutely crushed me. I did not know who I was without being a veterinarian. Mm. And so I needed to do something that gave me a purpose for a while until I could see what that brought. And I wasn't thinking like that. I just knew that I couldn't handle what was around me anymore. And as soon as, I mean, the first thing I did was the Christmas ornaments at Christmas that year. I listened to that podcast, I guess. And I realized that I had to do it. I needed less stuff. I needed to figure out, how am I going to live with this disease now that I know it's progressive and it's just going down? Because I was trying to pretend I didn't have it.
Yes.
So
or it's going to go away.
Right. And because everything was such a mess, and I like stuff. And so I had too much stuff, and I couldn't manage it all. You know, I learned from you, you know, everything you have is something you got to take care of. And I didn't have it. I needed to take care of my kids, who one had recently been diagnosed with ADHD. And we were just about to find out the second one had ADHD. And then we were about to find out my husband had ADHD.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. It was interesting. So it needed to be done. I needed to have some systems. And that's what I, in listening to you, that's what I realized was, you know, everything needs to be easy for everybody. So when I'm down, they can do it.
And in your autoimmune illness, it affected your energy level.
Yes.
But did it affect you, like, as far as, like, were you exhausted mentally also? Or was your mind, like, thinking about all the possible solutions all the time?
It would depend. Back then, my down periods could last for weeks, if not months. And during those, I had a lot of depression along with it, a lot of pain, and a lot of fatigue. And so my brain really wasn't doing anything except get up, get the kids up, feed the kids, get the kids to school. I mean, I was just in survival mode. So I wasn't thinking about solutions at all. But then when I would have some up days, which it used to be more down days than up days. And thankfully that has reversed. But on my up days, my brain was spinning with, oh, I can do this, I can do this, and I can do this. But what I did at the time, since I didn't have any energy, was I focused on one of your things at a time. So I found you in Christmas that year, and I did what was in my living room with the podcast. And then I did the Sunday basket. And I did that. And then I don't think I joined the 100-day program until the summer. I waited. I wanted to make sure I had the Sunday basket pieces going. And then I joined the 100-day. And then what I found was, in getting it done, my family was better. It helped my energy levels because I knew when I went down, they were going to survive, you know, and that was a big deal.
So you like get it to the next level and then it would maintain while you were down, and then get it to the next level and then maintain, versus you went down and everything went all the way back and you had to rebuild all the way back to where you were before you went down.
100%.
Well, yes. That's good. At least you weren't going backwards.
Yes. It was huge because I did feel backwards every time I had a flare.
Yeah.
I felt like I dug out. I had, you know, because it could be a week, it could be a month, it could be 3 months. I had that much mail to go through. I had that much, you know, nobody cleans, you know, the way you do.
Right.
You know, and so it was just, then I'd have to put everything back. And so, yes, finding things that they could do in a way that made it easy. They knew where things were. And I also got to sleep. Like when I went down, nobody was coming in and saying, Mom, where's the, you know, so, and that was big. I mean, it sounds small, but when you have any kind of illness that affects your energy levels, it's huge to be able to get uninterrupted sleep.
Well, and I think that this is so important. Like, I can't even tell you how many of my female friends in their 40s have gotten some kind of an autoimmune or really mystery illness. I have so many friends that have these mystery illnesses that literally they can't even get out of bed, or like doing all these experimental things. Like, I don't even know where all this stuff is coming from. There's not even research to read about it. And it is literally taking them out. Like, just like you said, they have no energy. And I think a lot of us, whether it's an autoimmune illness or something else, we get to this point where we realize, wow, I'm farther behind than I can make up in one weekend of powering through. And how do I really change this going forward? And I love that you said you did the Sunday basket first for 4 months, and then you did the 100-day program. And then, like, you've gone through everything that we have in Organized 365, but you've done it over the last 4 years, not in 4 months. And sometimes I think we're in such a hurry to get to the end goal of what we think organization looks like or productivity is going to do for us, but it's a process. When my kids were younger, we did homeopathy. We did everything. One of the things we did was homeopathy. And when I met with, like, I had like 81 books in my basement. I literally had books from India on homeopathy. Like, I understood the materia medica. Like, I had like all of the things. I did all of the research. And so I talked to some of the people that were leading in homeopathy here in Cincinnati, and they said, it doesn't take as long to heal in homeopathy that it did for the illness to manifest in your body, but it takes like a percentage of the time. So like, if you start to get sick, and usually when you start to get sick, you don't recognize the illness, but it takes a while before it gets in your body to the point where you know what is going on. So let's say it's been a 4-year slide into whatever illness you have. So then homeopathy would say that you then have to reverse that to get out. So whatever your very first symptoms were when you got the illness or whatever will be the last symptom to leave. So let's say it's first you start with headaches, and then your back hurt, and then you had fatigue, and then you had depression, and then you couldn't sleep. Then you would start to be able to sleep, and then the depression would lift. Like, it would go, it goes in reverse order as it works its way out of your body. And they would tell me it's usually 1 month for every year of the disease. So like, let's say it took four years, then it would be 4 months of homeopathy treatment in order to reverse whatever it is. And so I say all that because when you are at the point where you've decided, okay, what I'm doing isn't working for this phase of life or for whatever, and I need to get back out from under this disorganization reactive life that I've been living in, it is going to take that amount of time. If it's 10 years, it's not going to take 10 years, but it might take, 1 to 2 months for every year of that slide. So for me, it was a 7-year slide into where I was. And it did take me about 18 months to get all the way back out of it and be as proactive as I had been before I started that slide. So just knowing that time frame and not putting this external pressure on yourself that has to be done super fast, or you have to go all in and do everything all at once. That's why I do not have a bonus or a cost savings if you buy everything at once. Like, there's no difference if you buy my products one at a time or everything all at once. It's how do you want to attack your journey? There's no penalty for doing it slow or doing it in order or taking the time to implement before you purchase the next step.
Yes. And I highly recommend, especially if you have anything, even if it's just like a super huge work schedule. One of the things people don't understand is that, so with autoimmune disease, there's something that you get called brain fog. And it is very similar to the issues that people with ADHD have, because it affects your executive functions. And so, but any stress can cause this. And I'm not talking about stress from disease or anything. I'm talking about stress from work, stress from home. That can cause it. There's so many things that can cause brain fog and a lot of symptoms that you can also get with autoimmune disease. And so I would say that if you have anything that's affecting your energy levels, depression affects your energy levels, any of those, take your time. I actually adapted the 100 days. I made a, at the time I had a jar essentially, and well, I had several jars, and I had a jar of things I could do from my bed, things I could do from my chair, things I could do at the table, things I needed to be fully mobile for, had to be standing up and stuff. And then I also ranked them on, because sometimes I'm less mobile because of pain, not fatigue. And so I also rated them by energy level needed for a certain thing. And so, and whether I needed help. So if I was in bed, I could do a silverware drawer, but I needed somebody to bring me the silverware drawer.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So that's how I divided it up so that I could keep going. And I was not always on the same day as you were. And I know a lot of people work and they can only do this on the weekend. So they're not necessarily doing the same day either. There's nothing wrong with that. It's absolutely, because you have it all, you can do it when it fits your health, your routine, your work schedule, your whatever. And that's what worked for me finally, because I've always felt like everybody was hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. You got to do step one, step two, step three. I couldn't even think about a progressive step one, step two, step three. My brain was mush. And so I just did it the way that I could. And same with the Sunday best, same with everything in your program, is it's do as much as you can, you know, wherever you are, start there, deal with that, and then go to the next piece. And I didn't hurry. I've been doing this for years. I don't do it 3 times a year anymore, but I do it at least once a year, the 100 days.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, the way I designed the program, like as a teacher, like any day is completely independent of every other day. Like you could start on day 72 and then do day 65 and then 88. It will not matter. Like each individual day in the 100-day program is totally independent of the others. And you can do the Sunday basket with only the 1.0 slosh pockets forever. You never have to add in the 2.0 slosh pockets. The 2.0 slosh pockets are how you organize home, family, personal projects. But if you're not a project person, you could do the 100-day, or I mean the Sunday basket with only the 1.0 slosh pockets forever, or only add in the 2.0 slosh pockets of one color. Like, and it's still, the system will still work. You could do one binder and not all four binders. Like everything, every product, they synergistically work together. All the colors and everything all matches, but you could pick and choose. You can start anywhere in the journey and you're still going to get to the same organized place. So I love following your energy. If you follow me on Instagram every once in a while, like every other week or so, I will be like, okay, today I'm going to clean my house. So I'm going to show you what I'm doing. And I have you follow me on my day, or I'm going to go through my Sunday basket and I show you. It's totally random. It's whenever I feel like I have the energy to do the task and show you what I'm doing at the same time. If you follow those days, you're like, well, that's a really weird order to do it in. It's totally my energy. Like I feel like folding laundry now, so I'm going to fold laundry now. I feel like I just follow my energy through the whole day and I get twice as much done than if I did it in the logical same order every single time. I think if you follow your energy, you're going to get more done always than if you force yourself to do something that you think somebody else told you to do. Nobody's in your house with you, by the way. You can do whatever you want. Yeah. You need to make your own rules. So I love that when you were down, you were able to sleep. Like you were able to give your body what it needed and the family was maintaining without needing your mental and verbal how to do the next thing. Was that the first time you noticed something was organized that wasn't organized before?
You know, I'm not sure it was the first time, but it was definitely a big factor because I might have mentioned before that I like stuff. And so I needed to get rid of stuff. And, you know, I was still holding on to things that I had used when my kids were little. I mean, I still had those plastic bowls, you know, with the plastic spoons. Yes. And at this point in 2016, my daughter was 11 and my son was 15. And so they weren't really needing those bowls and things anymore. So for me, once it was about getting rid of all of that and finding the things that we really used. And in Arizona, houses don't have a lot of storage. And so you use a lot of open shelving. So like the items that I use to serve meals and things like that, I have made sure to buy things that I like the way they look because they are displayed on open shelves. So if you walk around my house, you will see, you will be like, oh, didn't we use that at dinner last week? You know, yes, you did. You know, all of my stuff is out that way because it pretty much has to be in our homes here. But I needed to make it so that my family could see it. There was so much. It was ridiculous.
I see. And where did you move from?
From Mississippi.
And were things behind cabinets in Mississippi?
Yes. And you have attics and basements. And here you don't have attics or basements most of the time.
Is it a water table issue? You can't have a basement, or it's just not
basements, the trend? It's rock. Rocks down in Tucson. Solid. Unbelievable. Yeah. You should see the equipment they bring to, you know, drill you a little hole to put in a tiny little pipe down there.
You know, it's, oh, wow.
Yeah. And they don't go up. I'm wondering if it's the heat is the reason they don't do attics. I don't really know, but they just don't.
It's so fascinating how houses are different, like all over the world, but even inside of the United States, or like you're saying open shelving. And I'm like, oh, I would be the house where I would build my house in Arizona, so I had cabinets. And then people would walk in my house and be like, why is your house so weird? I'd be like, because it's an Ohio house in Arizona.
I bought cabinets. I'm not going to lie. I had some made by an artist here in town, and they're beautiful. And so that was my solution for some of it. Yes.
Yeah. But so it's just so interesting that not only the outside of houses, but the inside of houses changed based on where you live. Yeah. Just so fascinating to me. Things I didn't even know. I thought it was like some people have open shelving. I didn't realize it was like whole areas of the country have open shelving.
Yeah. I thought it was really fascinating when we were here to look at houses, because you would find people that you knew definitely were from back east somewhere. Yeah. And they're like, their house would have really heavy velvet draperies and things like that. And it would be dark inside and the wind, you know, everything would be closed up. And you'd go to other houses, like our house is windows. It's just all windows. We have curtains, we have blinds on bedrooms and things, but we don't have in the open spaces in the house, we don't have any curtains or anything. It's just all open because we have gorgeous views and sunshine.
So, what I love about that is you get all these different ideas, and you may be listening to this podcast and live in, I don't know, New York. You're like, oh, I don't like my cabinets. You can have open shelving anywhere. You can have blinds anywhere. You can pick and choose what you want in your home. And I love that. I love making your home what you want it to be.
Yeah, it helps you pare down too, because if you know everything is good, like when we moved here, I had too much stuff. And when I realized that there was only open shelving, I mean, our kitchen's got cabinets, but there's not enough space there. I cook a lot, so I have a ton of cooking stuff. So when it came to my dishes and my servingware, that was all out. So it allowed me to get rid of the things that I've never liked, but kept because they were useful or, you know, whatever it is. So
a good reason to upgrade too.
Yeah.
Sorry, I had to get a nicer one because people are going to see it all the time.
That's right.
So since you started 4 years ago, this journey of getting organized, I love that you are feeling healthier and you're in a better place. What else has happened that you didn't expect to happen?
Well, so as always identifying as a veterinarian, I never thought I'd become a professional organizer, but I became Sunday Basket. Well, I kind of messed it up a little bit. I was supposed to try for Sunday Basket first, and I sort of got my order. I signed up the wrong way. And so then we had to back me out a little bit. So I did Sunday Basket, and then I did All Paper Certified. Your people are really great. I think they got used to me going, I think I did this backwards too. And then they would help me out.
So you can do retreats and Sunday Basket certification.
Yes. Okay. Yes. And I started a business. It's called Corralling the Crazy, and it's primarily to help people with chronic autoimmune issues and energy issues to simplify and figure out how to thrive where they are with their issue, whatever it may be, and move forward in their life and feel productive and feel like they have a purpose and stuff. And that's been the big thing for me, because it gave me the time to research things that would help my health, because I had given up. I was so down. I couldn't even see out from the, you know, hole I was in. And by getting organized and saving myself some time and saying, all right, guys, you know where everything is now. So now you're in charge of dinner on Tuesday night, and you're in charge of, you know, whatever. It gave me the time to actually start researching again and finding, and that's one of the reasons I'm where I am, is because I found new forms of exercise that work really well for me, and a new medication. It just gave me time. And that's what I want for other people. I want them to have the time to figure out whatever it is that they want out of their life that they're not getting right then. I want them to be able to do that regardless.
So you're in Arizona. Do you offer virtual organizing?
I do.
Sessions? Okay. Because I'm sure there are people going, I want to know how you divided the 100 days by energy types. Like, they're going to want to know that. So can you just give us your website so people know how to get in touch with you?
Sure. It is corrallingthecrazy.com.
Okay. So just go there and you can figure out what Jennifer's offerings are and if that works for you. I know there are people in the 100-day program where they're going to say, that's me. How do I divide this up by my energy level? That could be a little side business for you now, Jennifer.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah, I'm doing some in-person too. So if there's anybody in Tucson that wants to, you know, actually meet in person, does better with, you know, that sort of thing, or whether it's group or one-on-one, happy to do that too.
Awesome. Are there any unexpected events that you had in the last 4 years that happened during your organizing journey that either derailed you or the organization helped you through?
So I did have in 2016, I had a down period and then I started coming up again. Mm-hmm. And then I had a really bad car accident. My dad was diagnosed with dementia. You know, the rest of my kids got, you know, were diagnosed with ADHD, and there was a lot of things like that. I mean, it's pretty much normal life anymore, but it's all stuff that hit me very hard, you know? And, and I'm a veterinarian, so I'm very attached to my pets, and we lost 4 out of our 5.
Oh my gosh.
Over the last 2 years. So, and that got me probably more than anything. So I had another really long downtime, and that made things a little bit difficult. But right before Embrace 2019, I started coming back out of it again. And so that's when I went to Embrace 2019 and signed up to be an organizer and everything else. I was feeling pretty good, I think. I met Sherry McGregor. I met a bunch of people who have just been really energizing and really forces to be reckoned with in my life. And that really helped. So that's the plus side of the thing, is I have found a lot of new friends, a lot of new people in my network, and again, a new treatment for my particular autoimmune diseases, which was great. So there's been some ups and downs, but I kind of consider it life.
Did you do Embrace when it was virtual this year also?
Yes.
Okay. So this is great. Can you share with people like what it was like in person and what it was like virtual in 2021? It will be virtual only again, and then we'll move back to in person in 2022, because people always ask, and I'm not really good at explaining Embrace.
Yes. Well, first of all, I'm really sad because I love Cincinnati. I went to Dallas in 2018 and did Rise, and then I did Cincinnati in 2019, and then the virtual in 2020. And if I was given a choice, I would definitely want to do the in-person. So I highly recommend that you save your money, allocate it, whatever you have to do once it is definitely in-person. However, there is so much to be gotten out of, even in the virtual. The breakout groups were a really great thing. That worked really well and met a lot of really nice people. And you get to see so many different people at different parts of their journey. I like to say that the first one was when I lost guilt. That was how I defined 2018, is when I was there, I cried the entire thing. Your mom was so kind to me and sent me some information to try to help me and things like that. And I cried the entire 2018. And I'm not a crier. I have 6 brothers. I grew up, you know, very tough. You just, you know, you don't do that. And I just bawled the entire time. Met some really great people. Came back in 2019. And again, more really good information, just helping you move along your journey. And I think the thing that's what's great about it, whether it's virtual or in person, is the information that we're getting. It speaks to you no matter what point you are in your journey. So got rid of guilt the first time. The second time, felt good enough to start a business. The third time, networked a little bit more and got to know people from a different perspective. I really learned how to ask the questions to find out how you can help people where they are and how you make them feel comfortable with where they are and accept where they are and then start moving forward. I think that's a big piece, but the information is helpful regardless. And, you know, there's no hugging in virtual, but there was still a lot of talking. And I liked that a lot. I liked having a breakout group with people I didn't know, because I will say that in 2019, I had already known some people from 2018. And so I met a few new people, but I sat at a table with people that I had already met. And so it was actually kind of nice to be forced out of that comfort zone by suddenly being thrust into a whole new group with people I didn't know at all. From all over the place.
So when we did Embrace of 2020, we limited tickets to 150. So we sold out pretty soon. And we sent packages where you open things all throughout the weekend as I did different talks. And then we put you in breakout groups of 10. And in each breakout group, we tried to get people that were in your geographic area. So when we do it in the end of June, 2021, it will be all virtual. But again, we're still going to do these breakout groups. And if we can work the magic, it's going to take some work. We're going to do the same breakout groups, small groups that are in the same geographic area. If your area is able to have in-person meeting, obviously you can all meet together and do Embrace together in a group, but it'll still virtually be streamed. I just don't, at this point, if I were to say we're going to have an in-person event in June, I don't look optimistic. I look delusional, even though it probably would be something we could do at the end of June. But the other piece about the end of June is literally people were booking tickets from internationally to come last year. And I just don't think that it is prudent to have an event that you know that people are going to come from all over the United States and possibly all over the world and bring them in one place in Cincinnati. I just don't think it's responsible as a business owner. If it was a local event, I would definitely have it. So we're for sure going to go 100% virtual so that I don't look like a lunatic. But 2021 will definitely be in person. We have a lot of fun surprises for this virtual one. We'll take what we did last time and make it better. But it truly really is you personally growing a little bit more, doing it in community with people that are safe in the Organized 365 community, and just getting a little bit more time with me. Like, that's basically what Embrace is. We just kind of embrace where you are in the journey and we move you a little bit forward in a community of people. So thanks for sharing that, because I know people, I'm not a good salesperson for Embrace. That's for sure. I don't know how to explain. It's like, it's like a retreat, but there's not a religious component to it. And I don't know, it's the fun of a direct sales conference, but we're not selling anything. I don't know how to explain it.
It's, I would call it a huge opportunity for growth. No matter,
yeah, it's a personal development retreat, really.
It really is. And it's just phenomenal to meet other people that have either been where you are or mm-hmm. are where you were the year before. You know, you feel like you're getting helped and being helped. And I think that is huge, because that's what we want to do as a community, right? Is help each other.
I think the biggest thing is you feel heard and you feel that you're not alone. Like you realize, oh, I'm not the only one that XYZ. There are other people here that feel the same way, or their circumstances are actually worse than mine, or I could actually help in this situation. Like, I just feel like you're able to receive and you're able to give.
Yes. Oh, and the music is good.
Oh, and I'm already picking out the songs. I have four already picked. You guys have never even heard these songs before. I don't even know how I found them. They're so good. I'm so excited. I love the music. The music is different every single year. The messages, there's an element of it that's the same. They change a little bit, but the music track is one of my favorite parts. Well, Jennifer, what do you have more of?
I have more energy and I have a sense of purpose now, which I desperately needed. So anybody that's ever had a lifelong dream and then, you know, accomplished mm-hmm. it, but then it's taken away, you need a sense of purpose. And that's what I was able to find with this.
What do you have less of?
Oh, I have less stuff. And I have less guilt. And I have less stress. I'm so, over the last 3 years, in incrementally, like 2019 was a very, very bad year for me, the back half of it. But then I, because of what I had done, the work and organizing, I was able to find that new medication. And so 2020, even though it's been, you know, a lot of ups and downs, and it's been very hard on a lot of people. For me, for the first time in years, I really feel super positive about where my life is heading, and also where my kids' lives are heading, because I feel like I just wasn't as present as I am now with them. And you know, it's nice. It's a good feeling. I just feel content. I think that's the biggest thing.
I think that 2020 has been unusual, but I don't think it has been as bad for everyone. I don't think it's been terrible for everyone. And I think as we get towards the end of 2020 and we're able to look back, we'll be able to see some of the things that happened in 2020 that were unique, yes, that actually have lifelong impacts for the rest of, you know, how we do things. It's just not everybody's ready to see that yet. And there has been a lot of loss. And anytime there's a lot of loss, you don't want to be like, I had a great year. Like, that's like, not again, not popular and not on target. And I wouldn't say I've had a great year. 2020 has taught me a lot about myself and a lot about what I control and what I don't control. And it's taught me, and there is positive. There is always positive to see. You just don't need to shout it from the rooftop for people who are not feeling positive. But yeah.
You can have compassion for them. And yeah. I mean, because I think it's been a mixed year for a lot of people, but my husband, who normally travels 50% of the time, has been home since mm-hmm. March 5th. So that's been interesting, but it's actually been a good thing for our marriage because it showed us where we were strong and where we were not as strong. Mm-hmm. And as much as I don't want to see that, you have to see that if you want to keep going strong. So
it's been a challenging marriage year. I don't know anybody's marriage who has not challenged this year. A lot of marriages, you know, ended in divorce this year, but a lot of marriages, you know, went through a rough patch and now are stronger than they were before and will be stronger for the next 20 years. So yeah, a lot of challenges, a lot of challenges. What do you wish you knew sooner?
That through taking control of something that, you know, we think some people have it and some people don't, you know, something like organizing, that actually, I wish I'd known sooner that I had lost control so I could have gotten onto it sooner, but I wasn't in a place to hear it yet because I had never lost control like that, you know? And I wish I'd known though, that once you take care of that, you can actually design in so many ways what you want your life to look at. You find more time. I have realized that, and this was something I was not doing to take care of. I was not doing self-care as much as I do now. I wish I'd known how important that was for me to be able to be there for the people that I'm trying to be there for in my life. I didn't realize. I kept thinking if I take time away to do these things for myself, that I'm not doing something for them, because I felt very much like I only have X amount of energy I have to choose. So I wish I'd known that I could design things a little better and the way that works for me and my family, which is going to be different from everybody else's family. Normal is, you know, what is normal?
Relative.
Exactly.
What are some of your self-care? Like, can you share some of those? Because I think when I hear self-care, I think, you know, $300 day at a spa. But for me, all of my self-care is like free. I did a podcast episode on it, but now I'm just like, what do other people do? Like, what do you consider self-care?
Okay. So I love to read. I love movies. Okay. The best free thing I have is to sit on my couch with all of my animals and
I believe that.
Hang out with the fireplace going. Believe it or not, it's cold enough in Tucson in the mornings for a fire. So we do that. I hang out every morning with them by myself and have just a nice, you know, I don't know, cup of tea, cup of hot chocolate, cup of coffee, whatever it is. We do at home mani-pedis here.
Fun.
Yeah. And so I like to do those every 2 weeks. My daughter and I try to do that together. And any spa stuff we do here at home. So, you know, I don't know, for me, that might just be washing my face. I don't know. Other things we do, we hike, we bike, I do Pilates. And for me, that's my exercise routine is unalterable. I mean, I can change out what I'm doing, but I don't change that I'm doing it every single day because that helps my disease. So, but I consider that self-care. I consider, honestly, there are times when I'm in about having a shower is self-care because finding the energy to do that some days is more than I think I have. I mean, I feel like I'm choosing, do I, you know, help my kids with homework or do I take a shower? So I consider that self-care. So it is on my list regardless. I like what I'm doing working now. So I love sitting there trying to figure out the pieces of how to make things work for clients and stuff like that. To me, that's self-care, but I like my job. So that helps.
You know, when you were saying that, and yeah, I think all those things are self-care as well. If you think about your kids, we would never think them taking a bath or a shower is self-care.
Yeah.
Like it's like non-negotiable. Like you just take a bath or a shower, but my number one self-care is my bath at night, like my hot bath at night, every night. Sometimes it's 5 minutes, sometimes it's 45 minutes, but that the entire time I consider that self-care. I think it's so funny that we, as we get older, think that the basic necessities of life are now self-care. And it's because of what you said earlier. You said it's taking time for yourself away from the family. And so we think anything that we do for ourselves that is independent of the family is self-care, which is a better word than selfish. Like I used to feel like it was selfish. Yes. Now I use self-care like, and no, I'm allowed to shower and bathe. I'm allowed to wash my face. I'm allowed to read the newspaper. Like I'm allowed, like they do these things. I could do these things. It's a way of reframing things that are selfish to self-care. Maybe is a good way for people who are starting to think about, well, how do I have self-care if it's not a spa day? And just think about, well, what would you like to do for yourself that's not selfish?
Yeah, that's
care for yourself, like you care for your family.
It could be sitting down and, you know, I don't know, looking out the window at the birds. Yes, I mean, there are some moms right now who are exhausted. They've got little kids. Yeah. Kids take a lot of energy. And that 2 minutes of sitting down, yeah. I mean, self-care for me when mine were little was a nap. I had everybody yes. say, oh, that's when you need to be working. I was like, not
no. After my nap, maybe.
Exactly.
Definitely. I'm all for the naps. Yep. 100%. So what's your next step, Jennifer?
Well, my business is expanding a little bit. In January, I start doing some speaking engagements here in town.
Yay!
I'm building a network with physical therapists and primary care physicians. More and more, I'm finding that because doctors are recognizing they don't have a lot of time in their visits to help people figure out what are the things around them to help build, you know, good nutrition and healthy habits that, you know, will help them with their illness or with their depression or whatever it is. They're turning to coaches, health coaches and things like that. And so I'm just trying to expand into that so that I can reach more people and hopefully show people that you can balance this stuff, but that you do have to make choices, but it's okay to make those choices, that, you know, 100% permission to make choices and do one thing at a time. Because when your energy level is not good, you've got to do one thing at a time.
Choices for now, not choices forever. Not like I'm picking this for the rest of my life. No, that's what I love about the 100 day program. You're making choices for 120 days, 4 months.
Right.
And then you get to pick again. And in the Sunday basket, every single Sunday, you get to pick again, pick again, pick again. It's like going back to the well. What am I going to get to do this week? It's exciting versus I'm going to pick my career or my lot in life for the rest of my life and I don't get to change. I think that idea of even being able to pick and then pick again, it's so freeing.
100%. It's a sense of adventure rather than a sense of, you know, one, it's not one door closing. I think that's the thing, you know, when everybody it's not one door closing. It's a sliding glass door that you can still see through and maybe you'll go and open it a little later. You know, I don't know.
I love that. Love that. Well, before we go, is there any advice that you would give to someone who is just starting out? They're like, okay, I'm going to do the Sunday basket or I'm starting the 100 day program for the first time in January. What advice would you give to them?
So first thing that you should know is why you're doing it. If you feel like you're being pressured into doing it, if you feel like everybody is telling you you have to do this or something like that, don't do it. If you're doing it because you want this for yourself and for your family and you want that peace that comes with less crazy. I mean, because to me, that's what I had was a lot of crazy because it was too much stuff and didn't know where it all was. So if you want that, know why you're doing it and then know what your end goal is. I mean, put a name on it. If it's contentment, if it is efficiency, function, give it a name. I actually, the year that I did the 100 day, I picked for my words that year, adventures and simplicity. And those have been that is now my life motto. And it went just perfectly with what I was trying to do that year because simplifying everything enabled me to have more time to try to do some of these fun things that I wanted to do that I was never getting to. I think you need to know that you will not achieve instant nirvana after the first round. You will feel better. There is no doubt about it. You will make progress. And that is the thing, is that every step forward, even if it is a small step forward, is forward in helping you with this. And third, and Lisa talks about this in some of her podcasts, the universe is going to throw everything it can at you to try to stop you from doing this. And don't give into it. Again, make a choice for that day. If your body is telling you, I can't do this today, or if your kid is having a crisis that you need to deal with, that's okay. You can't do that today. You can do it tomorrow. Maybe you can do it, you know, on the weekend. So don't quit, just go at whatever pace works for you and you'll get there. And again, I've mentioned this a few times. The biggest thing is that getting organized gives you the time and the space to see what's possible in your life. And I think that is the biggest thing. And it doesn't matter what your circumstances are. It doesn't matter what your obstacles are. Having a little bit of breathing room is gold.
Jennifer, thank you so much. This has been so helpful. I'm hoping for another up year for you.
Yes, yes.
So that you can get out there and help people as they are, you know, trying to get organized as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Are you loving these new podcasts? Oh my gosh, I could talk to you guys forever. And I love talking to you actually in person. If you have a story and you would love to share it on the podcast, just go to organize365.com/Wednesday to apply.